Wherever cancer is, Hancock Health will fight. In any part of you and in all corners of East Central Indiana. From Indianapolis to Greenfield to Knightstown to Rushville. From hospital rooms to family rooms, we fight. With technology and medicine, with care backed by the wisdom of Mayo Clinic. For you, for your family, and for your future in Rush County. We fight cancer here. HancockHealth.org/cancer.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.
Well, what a show we have for you today. Rob Kendall, Abdulkeem Jabbaz, Jim Merritt, the program, State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. Let's meet the panel before we start. You know him from 30 years in the Indiana General Assembly, the great Jim Merritt. Hello.
Good day, Robert.
And you know him as the owner and author of IndyPolitics.org, the one and only Abdulkeem Jabbaz. Hello.
Good morning, my brother. How's it going?
Well, it's going good.
It's a beautiful day today, isn't it?
It's going good for you because, in a legal sense, you flushed old Gabe Matlock Whitley down the toilet yesterday in a court of law.
Well, he was actually a double flusher.
His attempt to secure a protection order against you emphatically and resoundingly and swiftly denied by the judge. We'll get into all the details on that. But first, I guess, kind of your just initial comments on... Look, I mean, if it was a fight, it was like, they would have thrown in the towel after round one. But, it was a colossal waste of everyone's time. Gabe Whitley should be ashamed of himself. And I feel horrible you had to go through this, but obviously you're the one who was victorious yesterday. Your thoughts?
We feel good. We figured we would win because Gabe was, full of, fantasy and perjury. We'll get to the perjury part in just a bit, even though the judge didn't want to go down that road like Mr. Jabbaz. Just give your victory and call it a day. Otherwise, we'll be here till like 7 o'clock tonight because we didn't get done until like 4:30 yesterday. No, I feel good. We knew we were right. Mr. Whitley has some serious, issues he needs to go get worked out and hopefully get some help. But you messed with the wrong Negro.
So as I was in the courtroom for the whole thing, I don't know the exact time on it. It was well over an hour and a half that this thing took place. And I walked out of there saying, what a colossal waste of time and resources of the court system that could have and should have been used to help people who are really in need.
And that was actually our opening statement. We said, look, Your Honor, There are so many thousands of people in Indiana who have to file orders of protection every day, men and women. Orders of protection are becoming like one of the largest things that courts have to deal with, more than expungements, more than other types of things. And to be here is a total complete, is a slap in the face to every true victim of domestic violence and sexual assault who had to go get protective orders to protect themselves because we had to deal with Mr. Whitley's nonsense. And at the end of the day, the court found that, for the most part, it was nonsense.
Sure.
Abdul, protective orders are a serious, serious business, and I think you laid it out well there. Do you have any idea why the judge would actually hear the case? Because,
theoretically, if someone files a protective order, theoretically you have to hear it because you don't know what's legitimate versus what's
right.
What's wrong?
But do you think you just came up in the queue, and so they had to hear the case? I guess my point is that the judge could have. Said this has no merit and moved on after 5 minutes. But are all protective order situations like this heard like this?
Not like that.
Yeah. This just seems really, really special. And I just kind of find it interesting that they would actually waste the court's time for 2 hours. And like Rob said, all the resources.
I think what the judge wanted to do was give Mr. Whitley, and I understand where the judge is coming from, because you could easily dismiss things outright, but you want to give people their opportunity to have their voices heard. And so that way they can't go complain and say, you know what, this judge didn't listen to me, blah, blah, blah. Well, so the judge gave Mr. Whitley ample time for him and his bogus, idiotic witnesses to make their case as well, and they didn't make their case.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second, because I want to say, as someone who's in the audience, and I'm not obviously intricately familiar with the legal system, I thought that judge yesterday did a phenomenal job of explaining to everyone in the audience, she was obviously explaining it to the both of you as well, here's the statutes, here's what I'm obligated to look for and look at. When he was submitting these just totally bizarre pieces of evidence, and they were, you know, being most of them being struck down, or you were objecting to them and she was sustaining them, she was giving reasons to the people in the audience. She then went back through at the end after that, just total, I mean, just waste of everyone's time over an hour and a half. When she made a ruling, she went through again what she was obligated to look for and then explained why she was dismissing it. I walked out of there feeling like, I mean, from a pure, he being Gabe Whitley is a colossal waste of everyone's time. He should be totally embarrassed and ashamed of himself. But I thought from the legal system, I felt like I learned kind of a lot yesterday. I thought that judge should totally be applauded.
Yeah, because when one of his witnesses got up, Eddie Hager, who's another moron. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I asked him, what is the definition of harassment?
Right.
What's the definition of stalking? Well, I feel like, no. That's what you feel doesn't matter.
Right.
Is what does the law say? Well, here's what harassment says in law. Here's what stalking says. And your did Mr. Whitley commit? Did I commit one of those things?
Right.
Shut up.
Well, and Jim, here's what I would say watching this in the back, and we'll get to the part where they tried to, and I guess they did enter our show, the Kendall and Casey show as evidence.
Several times.
Yeah, this was great. We'll get to that in a second, though. But I will just say this. This is a guy, Gabe Whitley, who wants to be a big timer. He wants to be a player on the scene. Oh, I'm a candidate for Congress. Okay, that's fine. You can be a candidate for Congress. Oh, I want to run for mayor of Evansville. Okay, cool. You can run for mayor of Evansville. But when you step in, and you know this because you spent 30 years in the arena as a senator, you ran for mayor. When you step into the arena, the microscope is on you because you're a candidate for public office. And when you have just a litany of issues like Mr. Whitley does, they're all fair game. A guy commenting, and the judge basically said as much in her ruling, a guy commenting on someone who wants to be an elected official is not harassment. That's what the First Amendment's all about.
Well, yeah, and you do, when you go into this situation, if you're going to go into this situation, you've got to have all your ducks in a row. You've got to have your best foot forward. And the reason why I ask about the case and why they heard it, there's got to be a way to filter these harassment issues out where you're spending 15 minutes in your chambers talking with Abdul and talking with Honest Gabe. And I just think that I wrote the stalking law and the anti-stalking law, and I feel so bad about victims and what they have to go through and the courage it takes them to file for a protective order. It just seems like it's just meaningless time of the courts. And there's got to be a way. You know, we always hear about how lock, stock, and barrel, how full the courts are of cases, and you just wish that they could filter out these so that it's not wasting your time, Abdul, or anybody else's time. And there's got to be a better way to filter out these harassment cases.
Which is why I said at the very beginning of the hearing yesterday, I was like, Your Honor, what Mr. Whitley is doing right now is a slap in the face to every true
yeah.
victim who's ever had to file a protective order, who feared for their life, who feared for their safety.
Yeah.
So that alone should be a reason why this should be tossed and thrown out.
Well, look, the reality is when you're a candidate for public office, the default judgments against you, of which Gabe has multiple default judgments against him, where he didn't apparently pay his bills, that's fair game. Because you want to manage other people's money.
Absolutely.
How you manage your own money is fair game.
It really is. And we've seen so many people. By the way, he might belong in Congress.
Well, you know what's funny? And you will love this. So there is an Abdul. I'm not going to name the guy. There was a very, very, very high profile Indianapolis radio executive who came to support Abdul. And we were sitting next to each other. And at one point, as Gabe is just, I mean, the judge looks like she is ready to just jump off a tall building. And Gabe, it's where he was trying to play the show as evidence, and he couldn't figure it out.
He had this tablet. He couldn't get the Wi-Fi to work, so he had to get that. And then he went to the Kendall and Casey podcast, and then he played the podcast from, like, the show that day.
Kloppenstein and I are talking about Purdue basketball. And at one point, this guy looks at me and just goes, He'll be perfect in Congress. And I was like, that's so true. This is Congress. Yeah. So the point is, though, whether it is these default judgments or these serious allegations with the IED and FEC about your campaign finance reports or the donors who can't be found, or the political consulting firm that can't be found. Your life, Gabe, is fair game. When you run for public office, that is not harassment for people pointing out these serious issues with your life.
And you put it all out on the line there, and he has no defense.
Nope.
And it's the idea of running for office, you put yourself in front of people as a person of integrity and honesty, and that you can be trusted with someone's money.
Okay, let's talk about this, though.
Yeah, right.
Let's talk about this, though. The amount of time you had to waste, because you had to take it very serious, right? Even though he's a joke, and those witnesses were ridiculous. Well,
how many hours did you
prepare
for this?
You had to take this very serious.
I would say probably about 7 altogether.
Yeah, harassment.
Yeah, at a couple $100 an hour. It's sort of the cost of doing business. Every once in a while, you get something weird, like you help out a relative, doesn't charge them money, but something like that. It's like, okay, this cost me like $1,400. That's money I could have spent on cocktails and cigars.
Sure. Well, so this is the bigger point. By the way, it's State House Happenings, Rob Kendall, Abdul Jamarit. We're talking about Abdul flushing down
double flush
the old Honest Gabe yesterday in a court of law. The Honest Gabe's attempt to get a protective order against Abdul swiftly and resoundingly denied by the judge. He's going to keep pulling this crap, though, and this is the reality on this. Mm-hmm. Somebody in law enforcement has to do something about this guy, because he's going to keep doing this, and he will just keep moving on until someone steps in and says enough. Yesterday was insane, Abdul. The people that were sitting there in the audience were like, what is going on here?
One thing that really fascinated me about yesterday was when he said, I put his address out in public. I was like, so more people could come and stalk and harass him and threaten his life. And so I was like, okay, so, like, Your Honor, how did I put your address out there? He's like, well, he said that my roommate was Bob Kern and my landlord was Niece Paul Hatch, and that's enough to identify who I am. Like, first of all, Your Honor, I never mentioned his address. Number two, if you want his address, just look at all the default judgments that have been filed against him, because his address is right.
And he's a candidate for Congress.
And guess what? He uses his home address as his campaign headquarters.
Well, let's look at this somewhat differently. Abdul, you're a lawyer. Everybody in town, most of the people in the state and the political spotlight know who you are. What happens if he attacks somebody that is not a lawyer?
Right.
And doesn't have the resources or the whatever to defend themselves.
Right. And it's going to be more than a couple $100 an hour. And so not only that somebody's got to track this and make sure this doesn't happen again, if you can do that. But second of all, what happens the next time where somebody can't defend themselves?
Look, I don't ever recall meeting this guy in person. Maybe at some point I met him in person. I don't know. I don't ever recall having talked to him. Maybe I did. But I will tell you, yesterday, it was even worse than I imagined. And I again, that judge, for sitting through all that and allowing him to say whatever he wanted to say and make sure he got every opportunity possible. But that ruling at the end of Duel, she was, if you read the body language, the tone of that judge, and she was just beside herself that the court system, you could tell, had been forced to go through that yesterday.
Right. And the other thing, too, to keep in mind is when you go to judge school, they teach how to keep your composure.
Right. But she did great.
But for the most part, you can still read little body language hints, like you look at her eyebrows and...
Mm-hmm.
Like, what in the...
Yeah.
And she had that look on her face. Like, I can't believe we're here. Like, Your Honor, I can't believe we're here either. But here we are.
But just remember this. There are women shelters in Indianapolis that there are women who are trying to get their life together. They're someone's harassing them. They don't know if they need a protective order or not. They're scared to death of going to court. They're scared to death of what that person's going to do if you file for a protective order. And the courts are jammed. And all of a sudden, we're talking about somebody that has no idea what's going on and what using the court as political theater.
Yeah, you are a public figure, Gabe. Your default judgments are fair game. the allegations against you in front of the IED and FEC are fair game, and somebody in the media simply talking about you is not harassment.
Well, here's what he wrote on social media yesterday.
Oh, no.
You were watching the judge get upset at Abdul and the WIBC idiots trash the court and watching Shabazz look sad. We submitted his history of social media harassment on their own show was the best part. We are appealing the judge's decision.
Oh, goodness. He's appealing.
Yes.
Oh.
I don't know what you're going to appeal.
Well, look.
There should be a filter there.
You know, again, I come back to there's enough stuff in front of enough people that somebody in law enforcement, that's the only way it's going to stop, is if somebody with authority to stop it, stops it. And here's the thing, Merritt, and this is maybe a more of a you question than Abdul. And I was talking with a very respected member of state government yesterday who was at the hearing supporting Abdul, and we said the same thing. Where is Joe Elsner in the Marion County GOP? Where is Anne Hathaway in the state party? Because this guy, because let's face it, seven people are going to vote in the Republican primary. He could end up being your nominee for Congress.
He could be.
Where is Joe Elsner in the Marion County GOP? Where is Anne Hathaway in the state party resoundingly rejecting and repudiating this guy? Where are they?
I don't know where they are, but if I were county chairman, of which I was, I would be throwing the historical book at him and denouncing this individual and making sure that I can do everything possible as Marion County Republican chairman to throw cold water after him and not allow him to be our nominee.
Well, let me put it this way. Stay tuned.
Okay, because you know me, I got no sympathy for the Republicans whatsoever, and I think it'd be, but part of me thinks it'd be hilarious if they had to own this guy for the general election with all the complaints against him, the judgments against him, all this stuff, they had to own that. But I do not understand how we are, a week, 2 weeks away from early voting? Mm-hmm. And let's face it, there is no Grabowski running this time who's all over the airwaves. I mean, you've got, you know, another woman who stepped up, who's a longtime political candidate, whatever. But nobody knows who any of these people are other than what we're revealing. And what if this guy were to win?
I think the only person who may have some name identification is Kat Ping.
Well, this is my point. These people.
Luckily, it's P before W, yeah, with Whitley.
Look, as a member of the media, if this guy were to become the nominee, the media would have a field day with this.
Oh, absolutely. And it's fresh meat.
Yeah. So, I mean, from a media perspective, the guy would be gold because he's a walking, talking train wreck.
We don't want him in the Republican Party.
But so that's my point. What possible reason could there be for just radio silence from these party bosses?
Well, let's hope Joe comes to the fore as Republican chairman from Marion County.
I would. Just stay tuned.
Okay. All right.
All right. So we got about a minute left because we got a new sponsor here on State House Happenings that we were going to hear from them. But Abdul, I want to kind of give you the final close here. What is the takeaway from all of this?
Don't start stuff you can't finish.
You're way nicer than Abdul, I would be
Abdul,
about it.
I mean, one last question.
Yeah.
You are a public figure. You walk on Monument Circle. People stop and talk to you anywhere you are. You're open. When you comment publicly, and you know people like Gabe are out there, how do you do you have a sense of how you comment on anything that?
Well, one of the things that growing up in Chicago taught me is you always pay attention to your surroundings, regardless if it's a big crowd, small crowd. So that's kind of point number one. Point number two, I've been doing this since 1992, since I was in college. So I've said a lot of things have ticked off a lot of people, but no one's been crazy enough to pull the Gabe Whitley stuff. And most importantly, number three, if something were to happen to me, I remind people my wife was a sharpshooter when she was in the military.
All right. Good job today, guys. Jim Merritt, Abdul Hakeem Shabazz. You guys are the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.
It is State House Happenings. Rob Kendall is my name, and it is now time to meet our new sponsor here on State House Happenings. and it is the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro and Cottage, located in beautiful Brazil, Indiana. The owners of the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro and Cottage, Jody and Andy Lorman, join us now. Guys, how's it going?
It's going great, Rob.
Great, Rob.
Now, first of all, I want to say thank you for sponsoring Statehouse Happenings, and tell us a little bit about this just very fabulous, a little out of the way, but totally worth the trip, Bistro and Cottage you guys have. Let's start with the Bistro. Tell us about the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro.
Okay, Rob. So the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro, we started in 2017, and it sits actually in our house now. It's at, in another building on our property, and our property is on a lake. So everything is made from scratch. The scenery is beautiful here, and the food is fresh. We try to source as much local as we can, and Andy's a beekeeper. And so we use honey in about a third of our recipes. We even make our own salad dressings and everything. So you find honey tucked in a little bit of several different recipes.
So one of the things I love about this place is, there's two things. We were out there, my wife and I, last week sampling everything. It's phenomenal. One of the things I love, even maybe more so than the food, is the scenery. And this is a phenomenal place if you want to get away for just a few hours. Tell us a little bit about the scenery of the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro. It's the food's great, but I'm telling you, the scenery may be even better.
I agree. I feel like it's one of the most beautiful places in Indiana, to be honest with you. So we bought this property in 2020. It was an old, like, overgrowth coal mine area. And we built our house here 20 years ago, and it's almost magical. We've had a lot of guests here tell us how peaceful the property was. Even before we started the business, people would come here and say, gosh, your property is just so peaceful. And I think that transcends to a lot of people. I think they can just feel the peace. And I don't know why it's so peaceful here. It was here, that peace was here whenever we bought the place.
Jody and Andy Lorman are our guests. They're the owners of the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro, also the cottage there. We'll talk about the cottage in just a second. But guys, look, if you're looking for food that comes in a wrapper or a bag, the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro, not the place for you. Tell us about kind of the food and the type of service you get at the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro.
Okay, so for us, hospitality is majorly important because, you know, we have Hoosier Hospitality, but you're also guest in our home. So that kind of ups the hospitality game. But the food that we serve here, everything's made from scratch. It's what I like to call good old Hoosier grub food, stuff that you would have had at Sunday dinner at grandma's house. And you get pretty hearty portions here too, because another play on that Sunday dinner at grandma's house, we want people to feel that way whenever they come here. And one of the things about going to grandma's house was you always took food home. So, you know, we love it whenever people ask for a to-go box.
Yeah, and the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro, one of our new sponsors here on Statehouse Happenings. So tell us a little bit about this cottage, and then we'll come back to the bistro, because in addition, if you're looking to get out of the way, which you guys in beautiful Brazil are out of the way, you can also spend the day on that beautiful property.
Right. So the cottage was the original bistro building. And when we moved over into the house to expand, we decided to use that old building as a new cottage, a short-term rental. So it's got three bedrooms, two baths. It's got a little fireplace and a nice kitchen with concrete countertops. It's got everything you need, and it's pretty cozy. People love staying there. You got the same view as the restaurant. Out the back, you can see the lake and the sunset from the kitchen side, and
it's got a porch too, so you can sit outside and sip on your coffee of a morning. And we also provide breakfast too, and so you can look at the lake while you're doing that.
Yeah.
Something Andy did not say about the showers is they're kind of the bathrooms. The showers are kind of spa like.
Yeah.
Because they have body jets and they're he just did a really good job.
It's like standing in a car wash.
Well, one of the things I love about this, and this is so great because these sort of things, like what you guys do at the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro and Cottage, are all over Indiana, and we're pleased that you're one of our sponsors now, because there are these great little getaway spots where, hey, if you just want to get away for a day, it's not some big long trip, it's not, you're not going to break the bank, but you can just get away from everything, yet you're kind of almost sort of very close to central Indiana.
Exactly. We're only an hour from downtown Indy. We're less than 3 miles off of I-70. We're between 40 and I-70, so it's a pretty easy drive from Indianapolis, and so we just feel like it's a little hidden gem.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit. Again, Andy and Jody Lorman are our guests. They're the owners of the Honeysuckle Hill Bistro and Cottage, which are our new sponsor here on State House Happenings. So let's talk a little bit about the hours, because you guys not only are only open April through December, but you're also only open a couple days out of the week, and I know you guys do that so that you can provide the best service and food possible.
That's right. We're really concerned about not being burnout, because you can get burnout in the restaurant industry really quickly. And one of our main goals here is we want our people to leave more at peace than whenever they walk in the door. And we can't do that if we are burnout. So that's why we're only open Fridays and Saturdays for dinner, 5 to 8. But then we're open Sundays from 11 to 2 for a brunch buffet.
So Friday for dinner, Saturday for dinner, Sunday morning brunch buffet.
That's right.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. And this, I think, is my favorite part of all this. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. But this is actually, like, you love this so much, this Honeysuckle Hill Bistro and Cottage, that you basically live, you've taken the house, you've cut it in half, half of it's your house, half of it's the restaurant. I love this so much that you guys have literally put your entire life into this thing.
Well, it just, you know, the property is so beautiful. We wanted to share that with other people. And just, you know, cooking with honey and kind of sharing that grassroots, very down home sort of cooking, we wanted to share that with people, because that's a little hard to find too. I'm a foodie, so I'd like to travel around and find places like us, and we're a little hard to find, to be honest.
Well,
not location wise but places like us are hard to find, where everything's made from scratch.
Well, and I say that because we always hear the phrase Hoosier hospitality. And this is literally the most Hoosier hospitality thing I can think of, that you guys are basically essentially saying, come on into our home. We love this and love meeting new people so much that we say, come on into our home.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, we still have a doorbell in the front, and once in a while a guest will ring the doorbell.
Okay, so again, tell everybody kind of where they can find you guys. Again, the hours, because you guys are getting ready to open. April the 5th, I believe, is the first day you guys are going to be open. And then you kind of encourage people, hey, call ahead, make a reservation, because this Honeysuckle Hill Bistro is so popular, you want to make sure you can get a seat.
That's true. So, and I'm going to say this too, Rob, our menu changes every week, so I would encourage people to sign up for our email at www.honeysucklehillb.com.
Give that out again. Give that website out again.
Okay. It's www.honeysucklehillb, and it's BEE.com. And so our menu changes weekly. We open Friday and Saturday, 5 to 8 for dinner. Sunday is a brunch buffet. Now, there's not a menu for the brunch buffet because there's a lot of items on there. And to be honest, a lot of stuff I decide that morning, so what we're putting on. And so that's really fresh whenever, you know, I'm deciding that morning what all we're putting on. But the brunch buffet is 11 to 2 on Sundays.
Okay, Honeysuckle Hill B, honeysucklebee.com is the website. Brazil, Indiana is the place. Guys, it was so cool to be able to go out there last week and hang out with you guys and see everything. And we just want to thank you so much for helping us along with Freedom Foods Indiana. I love that we have all local down-home family businesses as our sponsor on this show. So you guys, we can't thank you enough for helping us bring the program and tell people what's going on and promote transparency and in government. We couldn't do it without you guys. So thank you so much. And we look forward to telling everybody about all the cool things you guys are doing.
Well, thank you, Rob. We're excited to be partners with you.
We really appreciate what you're doing, Rob.
FreedomFoodsIndiana.com is here to bring fresh fruits and vegetables right to your door. No need to ever leave the home or deal with the stress that is having to go to the store. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com makes it easy to order fresh fruits and vegetables online with the click of a mouse. I'm Rob Kendall. I love FreedomFoodsIndiana.com, and I know you will too. It's a great way to keep your family eating right without the hassle of having to shop. FreedomFoodsIndiana.com.
Rob Kendall, Jim Merritt, Abdul Hakim Shabazz. The program is State House Happenings, your weekly look at what's going on with Indiana politics and government. You can find Abdul on Twitter at ATTYAbdul, at ATTYAbdul. Jim Merritt on Twitter at Jim_Merritt, at Jim_Merritt. Me, I'm on Twitter at Rob M. Kendall, at Rob M. Kendall. That's going to do it for us this week. For Jim Merritt, for Abdul Hakim Shabazz, I'm Rob Kendall. You've been listening to State House Happenings.